from Allah, It inculcates a ni'mah from Allah, but I say that it's a test from Allah, that I am a da'iyah. It's a real test. Because as a Muslim in general, we have to make our comportment and our behavior in consonant with what we believe and what we think. But as a da'iyah, from the many du'as, it's even more important that we practice what we preach. And the reason why we have to practice what we preach are many. The reasons are many. One of them is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us angels that write down. They write down everything that we say and what we do. There's only two receipts that a person is going to get in the next life. Only two. That receipt, one of them is either going to be for you, or you will pick up the tab in the next life, it'll be against you. So how much more the da'iyah, the person who is calling to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his wahdaniyah, his tawheed, his oneness and uniqueness, and the person who's calling to the authentic sunnah, and the person who's calling through the way of our rightly guided predecessors, how much more should he or she have their behavior and their comportment in line with what they believe and what they say? So actually, this once again, this talk is for myself. And then it's a reminder to you, it's a reminder to all of you who might not have been tested like myself and those others who have been tested. I repeat, it is a test from Allah to be a carrier of this message of al-Islam to the Muslims and the non-Muslims. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to pass this test. The specific subject that we'd like to discuss inshallah, I don't know exactly the time that we have. How much time do we have? About 45 minutes? About 45 minutes, the specific topic that we want to discuss, inshallah, which is one of the many aspects of moral conduct of which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent primarily to bring to the people. We know after Tawheed, after explaining to his words and his example, the explanation of those words of the Book of Allah, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his mission was to make the people purified. After teaching them the correct belief, and that he should be the only one to be followed, as Allah says, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ, he came to teach them the book and the wisdom of the book, which is the sunnah, as Imam al-Shafi'i, rahmatullahi alayhi, says, and also to make them purified. This aspect of Islam, purification and tazkiyah, or moral conduct, is extremely important for us, because without it, we won't be able to convey the message properly. One aspect of that important, tremendous branch of Islam and of tazkiyah, of purification, is as-sidqa, which is truth. Being truthful. And we don't need to know or have mastered the Arabic language to know that as-sidq, opposite, truth opposite, is lie. We don't have to be rocket scientists to know that truth opposite is a lie. And I remember when I first started studying Arabic on my own, and probably the brothers who study the Arabic language and the sisters likewise, they run into this problem and they go through the Arabic dictionary to look up a word. You'll find some words, it'll just say the meaning of this word is, and then it gives the opposite. And you're looking for a meaning. It'll say, al-abyad bidbul aqwad. White is the opposite of black. They don't give you a meaning, a definition. Likewise, when you look in the dictionary, you see as-sidq, it'll say bidul kenneth. It's the opposite of lie. So that causes us some problems. You say, now what is a lie? And you look at lie and it says the opposite of truth. Truth has many sides, but it all comes back to the truth. And the scholars of Islam, in terms of moral conduct, they have explained that there are three main aspects of as-sidq, of truth. Three main aspects. Remembering that the opposite of truth is lies. And the opposite of the people who tell the truth in the Quran invariably are munafiqun. When you look in the Quran, you'll see that the opposite in many cases, if not all cases, the people who in general, Allah will mention those who are telling the truth from those who lie, but specifically, those who tell the truth or those who live the truth are the opposite of those who are munafiqun. We find this in many places in the Quran, many places. The point is that the ulama say that there are three aspects of the truth. And in most cases, think that truth is only with the tongue. That it is only with the tongue. But in actuality, that's not true. That's not the truth. That's short of the truth. Those three aspects that the ulama have given us of essential or truth are the following. Number one, truth in conveying the message of Islam. That you have to be truthful, and we'll come back and give more details inshallah. That you have to be truthful, keeping in mind that truth is not with the tongue only. Get that out of your minds, brothers and sisters who are looking inshallah and listening. Get that out of your minds that truth is only centralized towards or relegated towards the tongue. The first aspect that the ulama has given us is truth pertaining to carrying the message. Number two is truth in speech, of which most of us probably think is truth. And finally, truth in deed or action. Remembering that truth is the opposite of lies, and the people of truth have been contrasted by the people who are considered munafiqun. And those people who are considered munafiqun, we all know who study Tawheed, alhamdulillah, from the books of Tawheed, those authentic books of Tawheed, we all know that nifaq, or commonly called hypocrisy, is of two types. One is nifaq al-amali, and the other is nifaq al-qalbi, or al-i'tiqadi. The nifaq of action, which is the Muslim who has iman in his or her chest, but they are acting like or speaking like or have attributes similar to the kuffar. And the other one, qalbi or i'tiqadi, which is the kafir who looks like the Muslim, dresses like the Muslim, talks like the Muslim, walks like the Muslim, but in actuality they are devoid of iman in their chest. In any event, the people of truth are being contrasted in the Quran by the people of nifaq. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned, says this in many places in the Quran. The first aspect, truth in conveying the deen. This means that we have to have the correct aqidah, and we have to have the correct manhaj, or minhaj, or nahj. And that's two more words for your vocabulary, for the brothers who like to talk about the minhaj all the time. So the two more words to add to your vocabulary, your Islamic vocabulary, you have minhaj, and nahj. They basically mean the same thing. The aqidah and the manhaj have to be the aqidah and the manhaj of the Sahaba and those two succeeding generations of which we already know about who follow them in righteousness and piety. It has to be the aqidah and the manhaj of the people of the past. If it's not, you are not truthful. Even if you're not a person who lies, even if you're known, even from Jahiliyyah, you are known as a person who was honest and they always told the truth. In terms of conveying the deen, you are not truthful. You are considered one of the people of lies if you don't have the correct aqidah and nahj. If you don't, even though every time you speak the truth. That's the first aspect. aspect of the three. That your belief and your methodology has to be the belief and the methodology of the people of the past who were with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom he mentioned alayhi salatu wasalam as the best of people. That means we have to look at our belief, inspect daily, weekly, monthly, or going backwards, hourly, every minute of our lives, our belief and our methodology. In addition to this first aspect, how we understand the aqidah, I'm talking to myself first, how we understand the aqidah is going to be implemented and indicated in our behavior. And if we really understood or understand the aqidah correctly, if we understand the principle of rububiyyah and uluhiyyah or al-ibadah and tawheed asma wa sifat, if we really understood it properly, if I really understood it properly, we really understood it properly, believed in it properly, and implemented it, it would have an aroma. It would show in our behavior. We would never be caught between the four branches of a woman who is not our wife or right hand for them. We would never be caught using intoxicants. We would never be caught going to the Powerball to try to win that big hit. We would never be caught backbiting. We would never be able to say in sometimes our boast and braggart way, you know, being proud, and we should be, of the correct aqidah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٌ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. There's nothing like him, and he is السَّمِيعُ, and he is الْبَصِيرُ, and at the same time, backbite someone. At the same time, saying Allah is السَّمِيعُ, that he's the hearer of everything, the hearer of everything, and الْبَصِيرُ, the seer of everything, it's impossible to say that we really understand the principles of Tawheed, Asma wa Sifat, backbiting, knowing that Allah is As-Sami' and He's Al-Basir. Impossible. We're weak, of course. We make mistakes, but it's impossible for us to claim that we really understand it, because whatever we do is indicative of what is in our chest. So the first thing we have to do to be of the people of truth, as Allah tells us, orders us, commands us, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهِ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O you who believe, fear Allah, have taqwa in Allah, and be with those who are truthful. Meaning, number one, be with the people who have the correct belief and the correct methodology, and the methodology, for those who don't know, the minhaj is the tatbiq, is the application of the aqidah. The minhaj, in the smallest of definitions, is the application of the aqidah. So, our aqidah is going to help us develop our attitude towards the haram. Our attitude towards the haram, the spring, the yamgur, or the ain, the spring that springs forth that water that is sweet. The aqidah is going to be the thing that steers and directs our behavior, our attitude, because the behavior is a result of the attitude. Our attitude is going to come from our aqidah. Our attitude towards the haram is going to come from our aqidah. I don't know, brothers, if you understand what I'm saying. I hope you understand what I'm saying. Our attitude towards the haram, towards those things that are reprehensible, those things that are heavy on the scale against us, all those things that Allah has forbidden or warned us against, and as Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has warned us against, our attitude and resulting of our attitude, our behavior, is a direct indicator of the correct aqidah. Because the minhaj is nothing but the application of the aqidah. That's all it is. So the truth, number one, the first aspect, is conveying the deen of Islam. Meaning, having correct belief and correct methodology in carrying out those beliefs. How we deal with our kafir neighbor. we deal with our Kafir neighbor is going to be dictated by the Aqidah and the Minhaj. How we deal with our children is going to be dictated by the Aqidah and the Minhaj. And all of this, brothers, is part of the moral conduct. Don't think because you don't backbite, or because you don't mess with girls, or because you don't get high, that you have good moral conduct. For those of us who have been tested to have a bank account on any level whatsoever, for you to put a check in a person's hand and not tell them that the money is there on Friday, and then run to put the money in the bank to cover it on Monday, is an indication that you don't have good moral conduct. Don't separate moral conduct. Moral conduct is everything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to make us grow and purify ourselves. That's why we find the people who have high moral conduct, like our Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, when he's late for work as a professor in the university where he lives, or when he is absent and the administration of that university where he teaches as a professor of Sharia, habibahullah, when he's late or he's absent and the university administration tries to give him money, or they pay him in his check and he doesn't see the deduction, he takes the money out and pays them back. He keeps a tab of every time he's late, even if they don't realize it or they let him go, because this is all part of moral conduct. The person who allows you when you're traveling to get some weight, weight meaning to allow you to, or to overlook you when you have more kilos or more poundage, that person, that employee for the airline who lets you go without the permission of the head of the airline or supervisor, then this is a violation of moral conduct, of good moral conduct, because he doesn't have that right. You have to pay that money. The person who, when you give them some money, may Allah forgive me and all of you, the person who gives you a $50 bill and tells you to hold it, and you spend that $50 bill even if you don't need to spend it, and you replace it with another $50 bill when he comes to get it, that's a sign of not having good moral conduct. That person is supposed to get that same $50 bill. Not another one, that same $50 bill, even if they didn't come back for 20 years. All of this, brothers, is a part of good moral conduct, and this is the first thing that the Aqidah will teach you in conveying the message of Islam. The second aspect is truth in speech. And this is something that many of us probably were tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with in Jahiliyyah, not telling the truth. I know someone who told me, someone close to me, told me that they have a problem in telling the truth. That they have a problem in telling the truth because for a very long time their mother used to beat them when they used to do something wrong. And when they used to get beat and they would tell a lie, then their mother would let them go. So they found themselves lying, and the opportunity to lie became part of their nature, because they would no longer get struck by their mother. So then it just became second nature to lie. They found it easier. Some of us have been tested like this, where we can't tell. We're talking about the second aspect. We cannot tell the truth. And telling the truth is not just telling the truth. Telling the truth also includes mixing the truth or not mixing the truth with falsehood. For instance, the person calls your house and you tell your child to tell them you're not at home when you're standing right there. This is a clear indication of not having good moral conduct. It might seem like a small thing, but to tell your child, to tell that person on the other end, tell them I'm not home. This is a lie. This is a lie. We have to learn how to develop our tongue so that we speak the truth no matter what. And when Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said he was going through the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's things after he died, and he looked inside the hilt or the sheath of his sword, he found a note among other things. And one of the things that he found, he said, he saw, was that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Til man qata'aka wa ahsin ila man ata'a ilayka wa qulil haqq walau ala nafsik." Rejoin the ties with the one who severed it from you. The one who put you, as we say in America, on knockoff. The one who cut you off. The one who severed the ties from you. Silman qata'aka. Rejoin the ties. Rejoin the bond with the person who has cut you off. Wa ahsan ila man asa'a ilayka. And treat benevolently and kindly and graciously the one who has wronged you. This thing that's written inside the hilt or the sheath of the Prophet is showing us how to build up good moral character. And the last thing that Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu read, and some of us are sitting here now, I can tell, we're thinking about it, do we do this? Even though we don't backbite, even though we don't get high, even though we don't gamble, even though we lower our gazes, when we look when the girls go by, do you try to rejoin the ties of the person who cut you off? Do you follow up with kindness the person who violated you? As Allah says, "Idfa' bil-lati hiya ahsan, fa'idha alladhi baynaka wa baynahu adawa, ka'annahu waliyyun hamid." Repel the evil with that which is better, so that perhaps the one whom you and he has enmity between yourselves, you become like a close bosom buddy. And the third thing that was on the hilt, inside the hilt of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَقُلِ الْحَقَّ وَلَوْ عَلَى نَفْسِكَ. To speak the truth, even if it's against yourself. This is one of the signs of good moral conduct. To speak the truth. And we find in the history of Islam, in the early days of Islam, when he was a mushrik, Abu Sufyan, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the husband of Hind, radiallahu ta'ala anha, we find him when they were in front of Harakal, who my brother and our brother in Islam, Abu Usama, called Hercules. Harakal. We find him being questioned by Harakal. He asked him a series of questions. We know the hadith in al-Bukhari. Long hadith. And he said, as a mushrik, Abu Sufyan said as a mushrik, "Wallahi, I swear by Allah, lawla yu'athiruna anni al-kadhib lakazabtu. Wallahi, I swear by Allah, if it wasn't for the fact that I'd be afraid that later on the people would be able to attribute a lie to me, I would have lied on you, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam." This is a mushrik who was afraid to tell a lie, because he didn't want later on down the line lying to be attributed to him. And we find conversely the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam standing on the hill saying, "If I told you that there was an army about to descend upon you behind this mountain, would you believe me?" "Of course we believe you. You're El-Amin." We've never, 40 years, never, 40 years, brothers, never ever known you to tell a lie. Never. He said, "Well then, I'm telling you, I'm the messenger of Allah, sent to you." So the second aspect of truth with the tongue is extremely important. How much more for the da'iyah, speaking the truth, not making things be obscure, not bringing vagary to the picture, not making the people think one thing when in actuality it's another thing. فَإِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ وَإِنَّ الْبِرِّ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. Truth leads to righteousness, and righteousness leads to al-Jannah. One leads to the other. A person's going to continue to harra. He's going to continue to tell the truth. He's going to continue to be truthful in his actions. He's going to continue to be of those who are known for their veracity and their truthfulness. حَتَّى يُكْتَبَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ صِدِّيقًا. Until they are written down with Allah Jalla wa Jalaluhu, written down with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the sublime, the tremendous, the transcendent, as an extremely truthful person. So the Muslim, and even more than that, the da'iyah, has to be very careful to always speak the truth, and not be ambiguous, and not be vague, and not mix the truth with falsehood. And not mix the truth with falsehood, which is another form of lying. Even though the truth is there, the person comes with something that is not the truth. أَتَأْمُرُونَ النَّاسَ بِالْبِرِّ وَتَنْسَوْنَ أَنْفُسَكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَتْلُونَ الْكِتَابَ أَفَلَا تَعْقِلُونَ. Do you enjoy righteousness on the people while you recite the book and you forget it yourself? Don't you have any sense? Speaking the truth and mixing the truth is lies. Speaking the truth while mixing the truth is lies. Do you enjoy on the people and recite the book of truth, and you forget to say it yourself, you forget to do it yourself? So mixing the truth, brothers, is a form of lying, and we should stay far, far away from it. As Abu Sufyan did, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was a pagan. Along with speaking the truth, which is a problem, is the Muslim using a tawriya. A tawriya might not be known by many of you, inshallah we'll try to give it justice in the explanation. A tawriya is lying without lying. Lying without lying. Even though there are circumstances when it's permissible, we should try with all that we have to avoid it, because it will become a part of our nature and it can lead us to the minor sins, or it can lead us even to the major sins. An example of tawriya is, for instance, may Allah protect us, the police coming in here and they ask all of you and myself, where is Dawood Adib? And I do this. He was just right there. He was just sitting right there. That's an example of tawriya. Did you catch that? Or the person that says, where are you from? And you say you're from one place, and you give the word that means something else. Even though it's permissible, the Muslim should try to avoid this. Why? It's because the person can feel and can be considered a believer. The person can feel and still can be considered a believer. The iman is going to come out of them like a black cloud and hover over them. They can commit zina and still be considered a believer, even though at the time they're stealing or committing zina, their iman has come out of them. The person can use intoxicants. At the time that they're using intoxicants, they have a deficiency in their iman. But the person who lies, brothers, there's something wrong with him. The person who gives in to telling lies, falsehoods, there's something wrong with him. And this moves us to the third aspect. The third aspect is truth with your actual bodily limbs. Remembering that truth is just not with the tongue. It's conveying the deen of truth with the correct belief and methodology. It's speaking the truth and not denying the truth when it comes, which is part of the second aspect. Speaking the truth and not denying it, or making false witness. We can add that also. The person who says, yes, I saw so-and-so do this. I heard so-and-so do this Tuesday, February 18th, 1983, on this corner, he did this. And that person who said that he did that at that time was in California. That's false witness. Shahadat is bull. That goes with the second aspect of telling the truth. Just because you don't lie, or or you don't make the truth in falsehood. Shahadat is zur, giving false witness is part of that lie. The third aspect is telling the truth with your bodily limbs. And this is something, brothers, that seems to be as difficult, or sometimes even more difficult, than telling the truth with the tongue. And that is having good behavior, so that the people won't find, especially the people of da'wah, the people who are giving the da'wah, their behavior in contradiction or the opposite to what they believe and what they say with their tongue. That means that we have to constantly be vigilant over ourselves. We have to constantly take stock of ourselves. We have to constantly look at ourselves to make sure that our behavior is in consonance, is in agreement with what we believe and what we think. Because the people are going to run away from us. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayh. I seek the forgiveness of Allah for every single individual in this city or any other place that I've ever been, and I turn to Allah in repentance for every single person that I have run away from this noble da'wah of Islam. I ask you, Allah, by your greatest name, to forgive me for my actions, for anything that has made the people run away from the truth. Because this da'wah to Salafiyah, no matter what we say or we do, is the truth. But I ask Allah to forgive me for anything that I have said or done in my absence that ran the people away from the truth. And I like to add to this, that all of the people that have run away from the da'wah to Salafiyah because of Dawud Adib's behavior, I'm telling you, forget the behavior of Dawud Adib. Make dua for the behavior of Dawud Adib. Dawud Adib is a human being. He's weak like all the rest of the human beings, but you are commanded to come to this dawah. Regardless of the behavior of the individual, you have to return to the way and the book of Allah on the authentic sunnah of Allah Prophet alayhi salam, on the way of the Salaf al-Saleh, because it is the truth, whether Dawud Adib or the light above or below him, practice it or not. Practice it or not. But we have to make our actions in conformity with that which we say and that which was in our chest. We have to, brothers. Today, right now, is the day that we have to start behaving like the people of truth. We have to start today, right now, not tomorrow, making our actions in conformity with the belief and what we say with our tongue. Because we are causing damage to the people who really need to know the truth. And if we think that we can continue to behave the way we behave, myself at the top of the list, if we think that we can bring the people to this noble da'wah, the da'wah of Quran and authentic sunnah on a Salaf al-Saleh understanding, radiyallahu anhum ajma'een, by the way we behave and treat the people with harshness, with disrespect, or whatever, not keeping our promises, eating up the money of the Muslims unjustifiably, whatever the crime is, if we think that we're doing a service to al-Islam and this noble da'wah, we are fooling ourselves, we are fooling ourselves, we are fooling ourselves. So the third aspect and the final aspect is truth by our actions. And this is why when we find the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even by his bodily limbs, never once did he ever display lies, even with his bodily limbs. Not with his tongue, not as he told Abu Dharr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that when he grabs his tongue, nothing comes from it for the truth, but even in his behavior. And we all know the story, and some of us have probably heard the story from our brother Abu Usama, or we've read it someplace about those people, those four or six people who used to lie on the Prophet's wives, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet, when he was excusing everyone there in Mecca on the conquest of Mecca, he was excusing those people except for the six people, four men and two women, who used to say those things about our mothers, Aisha and Hafsa and Maymuna and Safiya and the rest, radwanullahi alayhinna ajma'een. And he said, even if you find them holding on, clinging on tenaciously to the curtain of the Kaaba, And one of them came to take bayah to the Messenger of Allah, to cop his plea. Oh, Messenger of Allah, don't kill me. He asked him once, take the bayah, please, Messenger of Allah. Oh, Messenger of Allah, take the bayah from me. He asked him again, second time. The Messenger of Allah didn't say anything, alayhi salatu wasalam. Then he said it the third time, فَبَايَعَهُ. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the bayah from him. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he turned to his companions as a man, of course, relieved that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the bayah from him, because if he didn't take the bayah from him, you know what was going to happen. That was it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to his sahaba, and he said to them, why couldn't there be a rajulun rashid yaqulu ilayhi, one who could, you know, a good, astute man, a man who understood what was going on. How come one of you didn't step to him? Yaqulu ilayhi, didn't step to him. When I was trying to, as the Prophet said, kakattu yadi an bayatihi fayaqtuluhu. What's the wrong? Why didn't one of you men step up to the plea and tell him, when you saw me trying to keep my hand from giving him the bay'ah, you saw me trying to keep my hand from giving him the bay'ah, why didn't one of you step up and ice him? Whack him! This is the statement of the Messenger of Allah, hadith sahih. They said, oh, Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we don't know. مَنْ نَدْرِي يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي نَفْسِكَ. Well, we don't know what's inside of you. Why didn't you know, make a sign or something? Why didn't you make an indication, you know? Why didn't you, like, wink with your eye, like, get him, like this? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you know what he said? إِنَّهُ لَا يَنْبَغِي. إنه لا ينبغي أن تكون له خائنة الأعين. No. إنه لا ينبغي للنبي أن تكون له خائنة الأعين. أو كما قاله صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said it's not befitting, not for the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام, it's not befitting for any Prophet. Any Prophet. Any 124,000 Prophets. It's not befitting or becoming for a prophet, no matter who he is. Zulkifl, Idris, Ishaq, no matter who that prophet is, to be deceptive with his eyes. To be deceptive even with his eyes. How much more the person, when you are confronted with someone, we're talking about truth by bodily action, you're confronted with someone and they mention a brother or a sister, and you do like this. You didn't say anything, you just did this. Right? With your head, with your shoulders. This is something that's displeasing. This is being written down. This is being written down. Because you're implying that something is wrong with your brother. It's a form of backbiting. It's a form of backbiting. Or you make some type of gesture with your hands or whatever. The bottom line is, brothers, we have to be the people of truth even with our bodilyness. We cannot be one way in our speech and be another way with our actions. Because every single person that we're trying to bring to this noble dawah, they're going to look at, for the most part, what we do, not what we say. They're going to look at what we do more than what we say. We all know the saying in America, action speaks louder than words. So the people are going to expect the kuffar in the bigger circle, and in the smaller circle, the Muslims of the other group, the kuffar in the big circle are looking at the Muslims. When you go to your job, we've been sent to perfect high morals. That's what I've been sent with. And when the scholars like Imam al-Nawawi look at this hadith, they say this hadith is similar to the Prophet's statement, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-hajju arafah. Or at-deenu nasiha. that Hajj is Arafat, or that the deen is good advice. Does it mean that Arafat is the only aspect of Hajj? No. Does it mean that the only aspect of Islam, the deen, is good advice? No. Likewise, I have been only sent to perfect the moral conduct. Meaning, it is so important that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam singled it out by saying, this is the reason I've been sent. To straighten out our behavior. To straighten out our moral conduct. To make sure that whatever we preach, we practice. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to perfect in us the character that is becoming the title. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, O Allah, make our behavior, the behavior of the people of truth, make it in consonant with the title. Meaning, make our behavior the behavior of Muslims, not the behavior of the Jews and the Christians. And O Allah, in the smaller circle, within that larger da'irah, that larger circle, O Allah, those who ascribe and make the intisab, the affiliation to the people of the Salaf al-Saleh, O Allah, make our behavior, because now we have a double indemnity against ourselves. We're not only saying we're Muslims, which shows our behavior is supposed to be of the highest of morals, we're attaching to our Islam, the Salaf al-Saleh, we're attaching to our Islam, the term Salafi, we're attaching to our Islam, the deen of the people of the past, so now even more than that, our behavior should be of the highest. And I ask you, O Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as you have ordered us to say in your book, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِغْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا وَهَبْ لَنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْوَهَابَ. I say to you, O Allah, on behalf of my brother sitting in front of me, O our Lord, do not let our hearts swerve or deviate after you have given us the guidance. For surely you, Allah, are the best of givers. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. O believers, يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين. O believers, fear Allah and be of those who are truthful. Be with the ones who are truthful. The ones who are truthful in their carrying and conveying the deen. The ones who are truthful in their words. And the ones who are truthful in their actions. Subhanakallahu wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Wahdaka la sharika lak. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.